Yeah, thank you, Laura.
Okay, can everyone hear me?
Yes.
Okay. All right, so let me share my screen. Just a second here. Everyone see that? Yeah? Okay. So the topic that I'll be covering today is the Golden Incense Altar. And this is actually something that I never really appreciated enough until I spent some time preparing for this conference. You know, it's actually quite an amazing thing. You know, sometimes we just focus on the furniture in here, but we don't really appreciate the meaning behind it and the substance. And that's what we are trying to get into in this conference, to really appreciate and also so we know what to do with it. Let's just continue. So like we saw in the previous meetings we had, that this is an overview of the tabernacle. You know, we're looking at the outer court. We talked about the burnt offering altar, the laver, and the tabernacle itself. And an overhead view, you can see where the golden incense altar is, if I can just enable my pen here. See, right here, this is the golden incense altar. And one thing that I realized in this, in our sharing in this conference, I understood it, or I saw it more and more, is that really the goal is to be here, because this is the Holy of Holies, you know, the holiest place. This is where God put his presence. You know, many times we just want to stay in the outer court. You know, we spent a lot of time talking about the offerings. And of course, they're necessary. They're, you know, it's what God desires. He wants from us. But sometimes we are not, we forget about the goal is actually to go in. To go in further. We want to go in deeper and deeper. And we talked about how this is the house of the living God. You know, it represents God's dwelling place, this tabernacle. And, you know, one thing I found interesting is that this, you'll see later that this golden incense altar, it represents our fellowship, our communion with God. You know, that we can have this relationship with him, to talk to him and to hear him talk to us. We'll look at that a bit later. And this is so necessary. And, you know, if it wasn't for this veil here, if it wasn't, sorry, my drawing's not so good. If it wasn't for this veil, this, we'd be right there, right where God put his presence, right at the ark. And today, indeed, you remember that when Christ died on the cross, the veil was torn down. It was, so the way to the Father was open. So today it is possible, and we can, and we should have this close fellowship with God. You know, if I go to somebody's house, you know, we talked about this tabernacle representing God's dwelling. And yesterday we talked about the showbread here. You know, I don't just go into somebody's house, open their fridge, eat their food, and then leave. You know, it's, that's not really the purpose of going to somebody's house. If I go in, I want to talk to that person. You know, I go in, sure, they may make me a nice meal. I can eat with them, but I'm not going there for the food. At least I hope we're not. Right? We're going there so that we can have this talk with the person, right? So I can hear from them and they can hear from me, right? And it's, this is really what the Lord wants. But in this case, we can't just, as in English we say, just waltz in there. You know, you can't just stroll in there any way you want. But this is a holy, it is the holy place, right? This is a very holy sanctuary, a tabernacle. And that's why in order to go in first, especially on the Day of Atonement, you'll see that we need the blood of the burnt, of the sin offering, and we also need the burnt offering first, and then to be washed, and then purified before we can go in. So you'll see that even in our, okay, well, let me go on. I need to continue. So even then, let's go to the next page. Okay, so again, this is the, you know, when you go in, this is the view you see. You see the lampstand, the golden lampstand. You see the showbread. But at the end, you see this golden incense altar. And, you know, just for those who are new, you know, we are, the reason why we're talking about all these things in the conference is because God is trying to, he wants to show us something deeper than just our salvation, right? Because we had a question a few days ago about this. And, you know, the goal for us is to be kings and priests to God. And as priests, we have a duty, a responsibility to serve him. And God doesn't just allow us to serve him in any way we like, what we think is right. And so these symbols, the tabernacle and all the services of the Levites in the books of Moses, they're not for us to follow by to the letter, but they're to help us understand what God requires in our service and in our Christian life, and how to live as a Christian. You know, the words of God, they never fade away. They never grow old. So like the brother shared earlier, for us, we should never regard these things as obsolete. You know, when I was younger and I was reading the Bible, whenever I got to the end of Exodus and Leviticus and Deuteronomy, I just kind of skip over it. But, you know, if we skip over it, then we're really missing out. There's so much for us to see and to understand and to practice in this. You know, and I hope that as we talk about the golden incense altar and also all the other items in the tabernacle in this conference, that we can have a greater appreciation and understanding and also know what we ought to do. Okay, so that's the, so this now what we're looking at is the inside of the holy place. And in Exodus chapter 30, verses 1 to 10, I'm not going to go through all these verses, but here you can see that again, the golden incense altar is made of acacia wood. Like we said earlier, this is a wood that does not corrupt. It doesn't rot. Bugs don't like it. You know, it's very durable, long-lasting, which is symbolic of the incorruptible humanity of Christ. It's overlaid with gold. It's very precious. Represents the nature of God. There's no bronze anywhere. There's no silver. There's no nothing else, right? It's just gold. Everywhere you look, all the furniture in the holy place is made with gold. The bronze is outside. But inside, when you come into the holy place, it's gold, including this golden incense altar. And what I found very significant is the location where this golden incense altar was placed. It's placed right before the veil. It's right before the Ark of the Testimony and the mercy seat. It's right in front of it. So like I said, if there was no veil, it would be right in front of the Ark. You know, so the location is very important because our fellowship with God is very close. You know, if I want to talk to somebody, I don't want to be like 10 meters away from them. I want to be up close to them to talk to them. Right. And if I'm 10 meters away, I'll have trouble hearing that person too. So the best place to talk to somebody is up close. So I found that the location is also very significant. Also another point, Aaron, the high priest, he burns sweet incense every morning and twilight. And he goes in to tend the lamps. You know, when you tend the lamps, you're refilling the oil, you're cutting the wick down, you're increasing the light, you know, because over time, lanterns at that time, they didn't run on electricity, so they needed to, somebody had to fill in oil or trim the wicks or something like that. And it increased the light. And the more, when you do that, when you have more light, when the light increases, you really see your condition. You see more. And that motivates us. It drives us more to come to him. You know, if I'm not only in darkness, but as John shared, if your light is dim, there are many things you don't see. So I found it very significant that when Aaron tends the lamps, you know, there's a noticeable increase in the brightness of the lamps, that this is when he burns the incense. And the incense is always burning. It never goes out. And also there's no strange or unacceptable. Strange meaning, you know, in the New King James, it uses the word strange. You know, it's not odd. It doesn't mean it's weird, okay? What it means is it's unacceptable and it's disallowed. It's foreign. It's not something that God permitted. So no strange incense may be burnt. You cannot burn a burnt offering, a grain offering, a drink offering. Those things stay outside. But this is only for the burnt offering, for the incense. Not burnt offering. It's only for the incense. And where does the fire come from? The fire always comes from the burnt offering altar. And what's also significant is that this fire came from the Lord. So back in Leviticus 9, when they began the priestly service and they put the burnt offering on the altar, the burnt offering altar, the fire came down from heaven. So it's not a man-made fire either, right? It is from God. And then once a year, during the Day of Atonement, Aaron has to make atonement for the altar with blood from the sin offering. So that's the burnt offering altar, and we'll get into that a little bit more later on. And then in Exodus 30, you see details about the incense. I won't get into the details of all the incense, but it's also very specific. God specified what goes into it. And then on the Day of Atonement, you know, this golden incense altar is very much attached to the Day of Atonement. You know, many times we talk about just the affliction of our souls, but there's more going on here. During the Day of Atonement, some of the incense is beaten finely. Remember that, it's beaten finely. Okay, I put a nice orange highlight here. And brought inside the holiest place. So it's brought behind the veil. And also this incense is not for personal use. You cannot, and this is a general rule, I think, you cannot take something that is meant for God and use it for your own enjoyment. You just can't do that. It belongs to God. So I can't make this incense. If I was living in this time, I could not make the incense and burn it for myself. It's not for me. And you'll see that actually, this is true for the priestly service. There's really nothing for my enjoyment anymore. Right? It is all about God's enjoyment. Now, for the Day of Atonement, I put a picture here, what it looks like. This I took from the Temple Institute, a picture of the high priest. He's all dressed in his linen tunic, trousers, his sash, and his turban, just like it says in Leviticus 16. And he takes a handful of incense that's beaten finely, and he puts it on the coal, the coals which he took from the burnt offering altar. Okay, so there's a procedure here. Remember, God is very specific. There's a certain procedure. So first you have to have the sin and burnt offering. The priest has to be washed in water. He's wearing this, right, these things I mentioned. And then he takes a censer of burning coals from the burnt offering altar, hands full of sweet incense beaten finely and brought inside the veil. The incense was placed on top of the burning coals, just like in the picture, before the Lord. And the cloud of incense covers the mercy seat. And also, of course, the blood of the sin offering applied to the horns of the golden incense altar. I'll get into what this means for us, but I just want you to, you have to remember what this says, right? So this is all very significant. But so what I saw is, and I want to share with you, is that there's an aspect of this incense. This incense is a representation of Christ. And one of the reasons why is because this incense was used for atonement. You know, atonement means to make reconciliation with God for the sins of the people. It's used for, it's because Christ is also the one who intercedes for us. And also, of course, this incense, it's a sweet incense. It's something that is pleasing to God. And one example I noticed in this is in number 16. I'll just read this to you quickly. In number 16, let's see here, give me a second. Number 16, verses 41 to 50. Okay, pay attention, I will read this. On the next day, all the congregation of the children of Israel complained against Moses and Aaron, saying, "You have killed the people of the Lord." Now it happened, when the congregation was gathered against Moses and Aaron, that they turned toward the tabernacle of meeting, and suddenly the cloud covered it, and the glory of the Lord appeared. Then Moses and Aaron came before the tabernacle of meeting. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Get away from among this congregation, that I may consume them in a moment." And they fell on their faces. So you see, the people were complaining. They were angry. They were accusing Moses and Aaron. They were rebelling against the Lord. And what did the Lord want to do? He said, "Get away from them. I'm going to consume these people." And what did they do right away? In verse 46, it says, "So Moses said to Aaron, 'Take a censer, put fire in it from the altar, put incense on it, and take it quickly to the congregation and make atonement for them. For wrath has gone out from the Lord, the plague has begun.' Then Aaron took it, as Moses commanded, and ran into the midst of the assembly, and already the plague had begun among the people. So he put in the incense and made atonement for the people." Okay, and then verse 50, we see that the plague stopped. So isn't that what Christ does for us also? You know, Aaron is a picture of Christ. Moses didn't do it. Moses told Aaron, as the high priest, that's the high priest's job. And the high priest, who's our high priest today? It's Christ. And so what did Aaron do? He took this incense. He could have done so many things. You know, why not make an offering on the burnt offering altar? Why not, you know, do something else? But there's something significant about this incense. This incense, when he burned it, it stopped the plague. It was pleasing to God. It was something that made atonement for the people, right? And this is exactly one of the things that Christ does for us. In Hebrews chapter 7, you can see that. And Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25, I'll just read it for you. It says, "Therefore, he is also able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them." So that's what Jesus does for us. You know, many times, I know for myself, there I have so many failures. You know, I offend the Lord so much. But amazingly, God did not give up on me. You know, and why is that? It's because of our great high priest. He comes to the throne and he makes intercession for us, just like Aaron did with that incense. You know, sometimes we don't even realize it. We may think of ourselves, well, I've done so many wrong things. How can God accept me? How can I make it? How can I possibly finish what God set for me? But we have someone who is interceding for us. He is this pleasing, sweet incense, interceding to the Father for us. You know, he tells God, he's praying for us. In, where does it say here? In 1 John chapter 2, I'll read that to you too. It says also that he's the advocate. He's advocating for us. Romans chapter 8, it even says that the Spirit is praying for us. Romans chapter 8, verse 26 and 27. "Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered." Again, in 27, it says, "He makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God." There is somebody that's Christ who's cheering us on. You know, he is interceding for us. He's telling God the Father to give him another chance. Give him, you know, be patient with him. I'm working on him. Right? And John 17, it shows how he prayed for his disciples. He's praying for us. He prayed for us. Also Luke 22. Luke 22, verses 31 and 32. It says, 31 and 32, it says, you know, this is an example where the Lord said, "Simon, Simon, indeed Satan has asked for you that he may sift you as wheat." But what did Jesus do for Peter, for Simon? It says in verse 32, "But I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail. And when you have returned to me, strengthen your brethren." Can you imagine that Jesus, he's not only the one who saved us from eternal hell, but he's still praying for us. So he is this incense that's always burning before God. In Hebrews chapter 6, he is the one who entered the presence behind the veil in this next point, just like Aaron did. So you see, it's exactly like what Hebrews 8 and 9 talk about. You know, all these things that we're reading in Exodus and Leviticus about the tabernacle, it's actually symbolic. These are symbols of what's actually taking place today. That today we have our great high priest who is entering the presence behind the veil, making intercession for us, who atoned for us. And again, in Matthew chapter 3, he can be this incense for us because he is the only one. He is the one who is well-pleasing to the Father, right? God declared, this is my Son in whom I am well-pleased. And so this incense represents Christ as sweet and satisfying to God. It is closest to the veil, and it's also brought inside the veil. You know, that picture that we showed earlier, right? It's right up there, right up against the ark. And the smoke is going all around the mercy seat. The mercy seat is this, okay? Right here on the top. And it's covering it, because that's where God put his presence. It's the holiest place in the most holiest place, you know, and only Christ is able to be that sweet-smelling incense before our God. And on the Day of Atonement, remember I mentioned that the Day of Atonement is attached, very closely attached to the golden incense altar. The incense is beaten finely. This is another aspect of Christ, why he was able to make atonement for us. You know, Christ, he did not have an easy life when he was living on the earth. He was definitely, he suffered a lot for us, and he was beaten. They didn't just take the incense and just put it on the coal, but it had to be beaten finely. Just as Christ was beaten for us, you know, he suffered a lot for us to make atonement for us, right? The beating should have come to us, but Christ took the beatings, you know, it was beaten finally. And, you know, this was brought in on the Day of Atonement to make atonement for us. And today, Christ is our atonement. Another aspect is that this incense was associated with prayer to God. In Psalm 141, verse 2, it says, "Let my prayer be set before you as incense." So the question is our prayer satisfying and sweet to God? Luke 1 to 10, the multitudes were praying outside the temple during the hour of incense. And in Acts chapter 6, verse 4, the apostles were given to continual prayer. So just like the incense was always going up, there's constant prayer you see in the book of Acts. In Revelation 5, verse 8, incense is referred to as the prayer of the saints. In Revelation 8, verse 3, this heavenly golden incense altar, you know, the tabernacle is actually, it was built based on a pattern that was shown to Moses according to Hebrews chapter 8. And it's very interesting, in Revelation chapter 5, you can see this, it's interesting that the throne and then the cherubim all around, and then right in front of that throne is this heavenly golden incense altar. It really matches that picture you see in the of the tabernacle. Right, so just like there's a golden incense altar before the ark in the tabernacle, in heaven there's also there's a heavenly golden incense altar before the throne. And the prayers of the saints went up. And what's interesting is that it caused immediate action from God. So in chapter 8, so that means that the quality and the composition of the saints' prayer was acceptable as incense. So again, the question is my prayer acceptable and satisfying to God? You know, many times in our lives as Christians, we don't really, I know for myself, for many years as a Christian, I didn't think about if what I was doing was satisfying to God. I was mainly concerned about what God could do for me and what he could do to help my problems and make my life smoother and, you know, guide me with what school to go to and what life decisions to make. So it was all about me. But here you can see that this incense, one key aspect about the incense is this how it satisfies and pleases God. You know, and this is why before they could go into to burn incense, they had to first go through the burnt offering altar. There's a complete denial of ourself. There's no more I. If I want to burn this sweet incense to God, there's no more I. There's no more me anymore. You know, it is all about what matters now is this pleasing and satisfying to God. So this incense was pleasing to God. The prayers, you know, and I put a question here. And if you notice in Revelation 8, verse 3, after it mentioned the prayers of the saints, let me just turn to it. I know I'll try to wrap this up soon. Revelation chapter 8, it says in verse 3, it says that it was offered, okay, the prayers of the saints were offered with the incense. In verse 4, the smoke of the incense with the prayers of the saints ascended before God from the angel's hand. And then what happened right after? It was the beginning of the seven trumpets. So what kind of prayer would it be to initiate the seven trumpets? You know, if I'm just praying about my own desires, I don't think that could be powerful enough to initiate the seven trumpets. You know, I'm just praying about, you know, we'll get into that. The incense in Isaiah 3, you can see here that it became an offense. Their offering of incense in Isaiah chapter 1, verse 3 became an abomination to God. They kept the law, but their hearts were corrupted and idolatrous. And then in 2 Chronicles, King Uzziah burnt incense out of pride. You know, he proudly thought that he could just go in there and do this, and he was struck with leprosy. And in Isaiah chapter 65, we can see it's not only the incense that matters, but even the altar, because these people, they burnt incense on altars of brick representing earth and man. So in our prayers, what are we praying about? Are we just praying about earthly matters or selfish things, things that only concern man? Are we praying for heavenly things? Is our prayer really something that is satisfying to God, or is it an abomination? We're just doing it for show. It's just for a good appearance. You know, I remember many years ago in one group I was meeting in, without fail, every Sunday morning, there would be a brother who stood up and prayed a long prayer. And it would be with flowery language. You know, it sounded so spiritual, but I look around and people were sleeping. It just felt like it was a show. Or you praying, maybe you're praying instead of upward, you're praying horizontally at other people, for other people to hear. You know, so is our prayer like sweet incense to God? And this is the question, right? If I'm praying for earthly and selfish things, just like James mentions, I'll just read this quickly. James chapter 4, verses 3 and 4, it says, "You ask and you do not receive because you ask amiss that you may spend it on your pleasures." So what is the motive behind our prayers? If I'm praying for just selfish things, for my own desires, for my own pleasure, then that cannot be incense that's pleasing to God. I'm not saying you can't pray for yourself, okay? Somebody better not say Moses said don't pray for yourself. Okay, that's not what I'm saying. You know, we definitely need to pray for ourselves because we have so much lack. We still have fall short in so many ways, you know, but what we pray about matters. Am I praying about, Lord, I want to love you more. I want to I really want to obey you more. Lord, save me from my disobedience and my rebellious heart. You know, the Lord even also gave us an example in Matthew chapter 6, when he taught the disciples to pray, praying for the kingdom, the coming of the kingdom, for the will of God to be done on earth. You know, you're praying also to pray for our daily bread, to pray for our needs. Of course, if my basic needs are not filled, that's going to be a distraction to my service to the Lord. You know, if I don't have enough food to eat, of course the Lord will provide. And our Father, our Heavenly Father, loves to hear from us, to talk to Him, to tell Him our needs. There's nothing wrong with that, right? And we need to do that, to come to Him. He wants us to come to Him. Remember, the golden incense altar is right up against, very close to the ark. He wants this closeness, close relationship with Him. He wants to hear from us, and He wants to talk to us. You know, so it's, we definitely should pray for the things we need and pray for our condition, for our growth, our maturity. But the difference is our desire. What is your desire? Am I praying for selfish desires? You know, like maybe you pray, what color car should I pick? Should I pick the red one or the blue one? I don't think that really matters to God. Or, you know, which stock should I pick? Which one's going to make me more money? Is that, these are driven by selfish desires. You may say, well, you know, if I get the red car, I can whatever. I'll come up with a reason, and I'll drive the saints around with my red car. Well, you may say that, but deep down in your heart, you know the motive is, it's still for your own desire. You know, so we have to check our heart. And this is where it's significant that in that holy place, there's a light to look at, to shine on us as we pray. What is our real motive? And the prayer, our prayer has to be from the Spirit, aligned with God's will. You know, for our prayer to be sweet and satisfying to God, it has to be aligned with His will. It has to be, you know, we have to pray according to His will, from the mind of Christ, in full submission to Him, not of ourselves. It's not coming from ourselves. And this is why down here in this other point, it's, we're praying according to God's will by using the Word of God as our basis. How do I know the will of God? How do I know how to pray? Well, that's why we have the Word. And the Word can guide us in our prayer. Right? And also this, the interceding aspect of it. Ephesians talks about interceding and supplication for the saints. As a priest, we also have this function as well, to intercede, to pray for the saints. You know, these are things that are pleasing to the Lord. You know, we put our own needs aside and we pray for the well-being of the saints. And James mentions here, the effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. So this is, again, this aspect of being cleansed, to be washed, to have the blood of the sin offering before we can go in. You know, if we don't have this consciousness, we'll just come to God and pray about anything. We'll just pray about our own, the wrong things. We'll pray for our own desires because we have not really taken that cleansing of the water, the burnt offering to eliminate ourselves, the sin to cleanse us from the sin, you know, to deal with our sin. It is not a small thing to go into the burnt offering altar that's so close, right up against the veil. You know, you're so close to God in His presence, and we do it in such a loose manner. You know, we just pray about silly things sometimes, okay? Be careful how you interpret that. Things that just really are to fulfill our own desires. So, but God's ears, if we take Christ as our righteousness, the prayer is very effective, as James says. We ourselves are not righteous, but this is why we need Christ. We need to deny ourselves and take Christ as our righteousness. And God's ears are opened to the prayer of the righteous. You know, so when I pray in this way, I'm effectively offering up Christ as this holy incense, because it's not about me anymore. I have the same desire as Christ has for God's kingdom, for his house. I have the same love as he has. I'm one with him in my prayer. I'm praying according to God's will. I'm praying that God's will would be done on this earth and in the church. So why wouldn't that be pleasing to God? It definitely is pleasing to him. Right? So, you know, taking the word as our basis, as the basis of our prayer, using the word guiding our prayer, because he is the word, you know. So we really need to look at how we pray. And I think this picture of the tabernacle can guide us in that way, so that we don't pray in a way that's, you know, that's careless and loose, that we treat it as something holy. It's a very holy service to the Lord. Don't be just satisfied with, you know, I have an offering on the Lord's Day and I brought my offering, that's it. But I want to go deeper than that. That's still something that's in the outer court. It, of course, the Lord wants that, but I want to go even further and deeper. You know, I want to be my prayer and my walk with him to be pleasing, to be satisfying with him. Why? Because it's of Christ. I'm bringing something of Christ to him. So, you know, may the Lord continue to reveal more and more about this golden incense altar to us. Amen.